Tonight's shiur is for the week of Parshas Vayakhel Pekudei. We begin with a question of a fellow who was quite overweight, and he tried all types of diets and things, but he brought his weight down, then he couldn't keep by his diet, and he started eating again, he went up. Anyways, he decided to put an end to this. He couldn't stand his overweight status. So he made his decision that he was going to have an operation where they put like a ring on the stomach to make the stomach shorter, smaller, so one gets satiated quicker, and therefore lose weight in such a manner. Fine. So he goes to his local clinic, Kupat Cholim, and tells them that he'd like to have this operation that, you know. So they put him on the scale, and they tell him, sorry, but you weigh 105 kilograms, and that's not enough. In order to be a candidate for this operation, that the Kupat Cholim will pay for it, you have to at least be 115 kilograms. So, what did he decide to do? He wasn't interested, couldn't afford to pay the price privately, to have the operation privately. So instead, he said, I have a great idea. I'll fress, I'll eat and eat and eat and eat, and bring my weight up from 105 to 115, and then they'll pay for the operation. However, he was questioning whether that's halachically permissible. Can he do such a thing? Can he eat his way up to 115 to allow him to have the operation for free or not? The answer that was given was, this is what we call in halacha genevas das, cheating. In other words, if we would ask the Kupat Cholim, the clinic, is, can one do such a thing? Would they allow somebody to, you know, specifically eat in order to bring up his weight? They would say, no, it's not made for those type of people. It's made for people who can't control themselves and happen to be overweight, and, you know, that, for those people, they offer this operation. But not for somebody who just, you know, who's actually less, and he's just eating his way up to that they wouldn't go for such a thing. But Mela, if you hide this and you pretend that you just are overweight, but you're only that way because you ate on purpose, so that's called Gnevas Das. However, Rav Zilberstein asked Rav Elyashiv at the time, Zatzal, what he thinks of the matter, and he says he agreed, but he said it depends on the situation. He says if the person already did so, if he had eaten to bring his weight up, and now he wants to have the operation, he could do so. However, if you would ask beforehand, can he, who weighs not enough, can he eat in order to bring his weight up in order to have the operation, the answer to that would be no, because that's Gnevas Das. But if, Lamaisa, for whatever reason, he did so, and he's already holding there that his weight is 115, then he could go through the operation. That was the final psak. Next, we have an interesting shidduch story, which shows, as many shidduchim do, the inyan of hashgacha pratis. There was a woman who was involved in shidduchim. She was a shadchanit for many years in Yerushalayim. And she dealt with, besides others, with Bali Tshuva. Young men, young women became Bali Tshuva, and she would help them, you know, match them up. And not only that, she would even check up, check up the backgrounds of the boy, the girl, whatever, to which, because Bali Tshuva, they have, and they don't have too much experience doing these things. So she would even do that for them, the research. Okay, so this woman, this shadchanit, she thought of a shidduch for this particular girl, Balas Tshuva, and so she calls her up one day and says, listen, I have a boy for you, and looks very good. As far as the way I see it, I looked into him, I checked into it, and he's a very good boy. I think it would be very suitable for you. So she says, wonderful. So how about tonight? Would you be interested in meeting with him tonight? She says, great. So he says, good. Okay, so we'll set it for 8 o'clock in the lobby of a certain hotel. She goes, okay, wonderful. So his name is, the boy's name, you should know, obviously, when you this blind date, so his name is Ariel. Okay. Now, the Shadchanit made a mistake, because the boy's name was not Ariel. The boy's name was, in fact, Moshe. So why did she say Ariel? It was just a slip of the tongue, because she's been dealing with this other boy, Ariel, for a while, and he's been bugging her, Fa'mi Shidduch, huh? Constantly calling her. So this boy's been on her mind. And as a result, so she just, it slipped. The boy's name is Moshe, really, that he was setting up with this girl. But she just, it just slipped of the tongue. She said his name is Ariel. Okay, so what happened? Well, you can probably guess. 8 o'clock rolled around, and the girl shows up in the lobby, and Moshe shows up at the lobby. However, the girl comes up, she's looking, where is my date, and sees this bacher. So she approaches him and says, is your name Ariel by any chance? And he's like, no, you know, my name is Moshe, not Ariel. Oh, okay, so yes, some other shidduch, you know, I'm sorry, and that was that. So she's waiting, and her shidduch, of course, doesn't arrive, because really, Moshe was her shidduch. So eventually, a half hour later, she calls the shadchanit and says, what's going on? She says, what? She says, well, I'm waiting, and there's no Ariel. Ariel didn't show up. So she said, Ariel didn't show up. He goes, oh, okay, I'll get back to you. So she's herself all confused at this point. And the Shachanis calls Ariel and picks up his cell phone. And she says, Ariel, where are you? So he says, I'm davening at the Kosel. So he's davening at the Kosel. I don't understand you. I make a shidduch for you, and in this, you know, lobby of this hotel at 8 o'clock, and what are you doing at the Kosel? Well, of course, it's the first time Ariel heard of any of this, but because of his, you know, lack of self confidence or whatever, he's like, oh, okay, fine. I'm sorry. I'll be right there. I'll be right there. So he just quickly hops in a cab and makes his way to this hotel. Now, Moshe has been waiting also. Well, he didn't call the Shadchanit because he didn't have his cell phone on him. So he figured, okay, I'll go back. The girl didn't show up. So he goes back home. And after he arrives home, he calls the Shadchanit and said, like, what happened? I was waiting there and there's no, you know. So she says, who is this? It's Moshe, you know, you set me up with this girl. All of a sudden, it hit the Shadchanit. He goes, oh my, don't believe it. Oh boy. So she forgot it, but Moshe was the one that she said. So she said, listen, I'll speak to you a little later. I gotta make an important phone call to make. Hangs up. She, of course, she wants to call Ariel to, you know, apologize and say, you know, he doesn't have to go to the hotel or whatever. So she calls up Ariel, and he's just about to go into the hotel, and he sees the, you know, on his cell phone, the number of the Shadchanit. So what does he assume? That she's calling to yell at him, where it takes you so long, whatever. She's like, you know, so he didn't want to get it over the head. So he just answers the phone, and before the Shadchanit has a chance to say anything, he says, okay, I'm there. I just arrived at the hotel. I'm just going into the lobby right now. Okay, I'll be in touch. Goodbye. And he shuts off his phone. And that's the end of that. You can't get a hold of them anymore. Anyways, so I'm sure you can all guess the end of the story. Yes, this girl met with this Ariel, who was not her Beshert, but was in the end. And sure enough, they hit it off, and they got engaged. at the engagement party, they never told a real the story, the real story, and at his engagement party, he said, "You see, unbelievable." He said, "I was standing at the Kotel Maravi, davening to Hashem, Hashem, I need a shidduch, please help me, I need a shidduch." And all of a sudden, boom, my cell phone rings, and the rest is history. The Ashkacha Pratis of Shidduchim. Next, we have a story of Reuven, who was a homeowner, who rented out his apartment to Shimon. So they had a lease for 2 years. And as the lease came to an end, Shimon realized that he, during his stay there, the apartment, he had broken two tiles in the living room of the home he was renting from Reuven. So of course, he has to replace them. That's understood. He broke them. He has to replace them. Okay. However, Shimon found out that it's not such a simple task. This was a old apartment. The tiles were old style tiles, and he went looking around, and nobody had these tiles anymore. They're old fashioned. He spoke to people in the business or whatever, and they said, forget it, don't even bother looking anymore, you're not going to find these tiles, it is non-existent anymore. So, he could buy a couple of tiles, a little similar shade or whatever, it was not going to be the exact same thing. So, he approached the Baal HaBayis, he approached Reuven, he said, listen, Reuven, I admit, I broke a couple of these tiles, but I can't, they don't exist, I can't replace them, but of course I'm willing to put in ones that are, similar, but not the same, and, new tiles to replace them. So Reuven, the Baal HaBayis, says, what? Nothing doing. Here are a nice looking, living room, and I have these two tiles in the middle there. Look, it's going to ruin the whole look of the living room. So Shimon says, so what do you want me to do? He says, what I want you to do, I want you to replace the tiling in the whole living room. He says, what? I broke two tiles, you want me to replace the whole living room? He says, yeah, listen, it's because of you, it's your fault. You can't put two tiles in it, it's a different tile, it's going to ruin the whole look. It looked like a very nice living room, now it's going to look ugly. And you caused it, and you have to make good. So if you can't find the same tile, so you have to retile the whole living room. Anyways, that was the Shaila that came up. Question is, who is right, Reuven or Shimon? There was a Shaila, what seems to be similar, came up, a sefer called Divrei Gaonim. There was once a woman, and that she borrowed a pair of earrings from her friend. These earrings were worth $100. And during the time of borrowing, she lost one of them. Lost one of the earrings. So the question arose, how much does she have to pay? Now, if she can just replace that one earring, again, no problem. But the earrings, they were custom made, whatever. You can't, she couldn't just, find another earring like that. So, fine, she can return the one, but how much does she have to pay? Well, one side would say, okay, a pair of earrings, $100. She lost one of them, so she has to pay $50. The one she lost. However, another side is, maybe not. Maybe, since she's left now with only one earring, now one earring is not worth the same amount as one of a pair. A single earring, who's going to wear one earring? So maybe a pair is, just because a pair is 100, doesn't mean one of the pair is 50. If you're left with just one, it's worth, he said, about $30, let's say. So the question is, does the person, the woman that lost the earring, have to pay just $50? Or maybe she has to pay $70. Because maybe she has to pay that the extra money that now this one earring is not even worth really the $50, really only $30. So she's really cost a loss of $50 plus $20 is $70. That was the Shiloh that came up. So the Divrei Gaonim paskin that in fact she has to pay 70. Why? Since she's a what's called a shomer, she borrowed it. She's a borrower, which is one of the four shomrim, and shomrim is responsible. And therefore, she's responsible for all losses caused, and she caused a loss here of not only the actual 50, but also now that the earring that's left is not worth as much since it's a loan earring. And therefore, she has to pay for that loss as well. Sachakol altogether $70. So it would seem, therefore, that maybe the same thing over here in our case. That yes, the one that rented, he's a renter. Renter is also one of the shomrim. He's a shomer. And besides causing the loss of the two tiles, he made all the whole tiling in the living room now look, we said, different. It's not a nice tiling job anymore. And therefore, he has to make good, perhaps, like we said, like he tined it, that the Balabai's tined it, that he should have to replace all the tiling. However, that's not the case. Why? For a couple of reasons. First of all, that din, which is true, that if a shomer causes a loss, he has to pay for that, all the lost causes, that only refers to somebody who is guarding metaltli, movables, like earrings, for example. That's the woman borrowing the shomer on the movables, earring. And therefore, even a causative loss, one has to pay for. However, here we're talking about a floor, a building a floor. That's called karka. The Shulchan Aruch says, in Choshen Mishra Simen Shin Aleph, Sif Aleph, that the halacha is that when it comes to the dinim of shmirah, they do not apply. The dinim do not apply by karka. In other words, the same halachas of a regular shomer do not apply when it comes to karka. We can get into the reasoning, but that's the halacha. So, mele, the payment that has to be made doesn't go into the category of the payment of a shomer that a shomer would have to pay. Rather, that of any person that causes a nezek. When it comes to nezek, we have a rule, grama benezikin pater, that a causative damage, one is not chaya for, that's indirect, that's a grama. Memele, here, fine, he has to pay for the, two tiles that he broke, and he has to replace them, but there are other tiles, that's just a grama. That it makes everything look, it's causing now to have a bad look, in the living room. But that's only causative. Causative, when it comes to karka, again, you don't pay, the shomer doesn't have to pay for that. Only person else has to pay, as far as damaging goes. And damaging, when it comes to damaging, causative damage, a person doesn't have to pay for. So therefore, he does not have to replace all the tiling. That's number one. And secondly, this house logic, imagine if the owner himself, Reuven, the Balabai, let's say he broke his own tiles in his living room. And he was in that matzah, we couldn't find another. Would he retile his entire living room just because he broke two tiles? No. He himself would probably, just replace it to the closest, tiling possible. And put a carpet over it, whatever. He probably wouldn't replace the entire and pay thousands of shekels, replace all his tilings because of two tiles. And therefore, since he wouldn't do it for himself, he can't expect, should not expect, his renter to do so. And therefore, the final din halacha over here was that the renter has to replace just those two tiles to make it look as close as it can, like the original, and from then on he's pater. If we want, we move on to a story with the Karliner Rebbe, the Beis Aharon, Baron Mikarlin. He was known that he was very, very, very careful his whole life to daven with a minyan. He did whatever he had to do to make sure he always davens with a minyan. So once he had to have an operation in the hospital. And what concerned him more about the operation was, what's he going to do about a minyan? So he planned it all out, and he decided he was going to daven early mincha, mincha gdola, and then with the tzibur regular, and then he would go in for the operation. Now the problem was what's going to be with Marev, because you know he's just it's going to be his general anesthetic, and he's so he arranged it that he figured he's going to wake up before Chatzos sometime, and he arranged that a minion of his chassidim will be there and by his room, so that when he wakes up sometime before Chatzos, he'll have a minion for Marev. Fine, all the preparations were made, and so it was. He davened early mincha, and he had the operation. Now, the chassidim were all there, waiting to daven Marev, but the Rebbe didn't wake up from the anesthetic. And it was ready chatzos, and the Rebbe was still out. So they asked the doctor, what's the story? So he said, listen, you know, he's very weak in this. It was, if you ask me, I don't think he's going to be waking up until the morning. That's the way I see things. So the Hasidim said, okay, well, we're not going to, if that's it, he's not going to wake up until the morning, and no sense hanging around here anymore. So they just made their minyan, and they left. However, the Rebbe had his chief gabbai that didn't leave his side, and he stayed with the Rebbe. What happens? Lo and behold, about an hour later, the Rebbe wakes up. So his gabbai's like, uh-oh. And the Rebbe turns to his gabbai and says, okay, get me some water to wash with. Let's get the minyan going over here. So the gabbai's like, yeah. So he thinks quickly, and he says to the Rebbe, okay, fine. Yeah, we'll get the minyan going right away. And okay, fine. And he, puts on his gartel, gets his sitter, puts on his hat, you know, and says, okay, let's start. Burachum, whatever. And he starts davening, and as if there's a minyan there. And he says Baruchu, and he says Kaddish, and the whole works. Why? Because he didn't want to tell the Rebbe there's no minyan, so he pretended that there was a minyan. He actually acted like a shliach tzibur, as if there was a minyan there. Well, the Rebbe thought something was a little bit suspicious, you know, and he said, how come it's so quiet? Like, where is everybody? Why is it so quiet? So the gabbai said, listen, they're standing outside here in the, again, a lie, you know, they're standing outside here in the hallway, and it's, you know, it's like, it's the middle of the night, you know, in the hospital, you can't make too much noise, so they're keeping it quiet, you know. No. So everybody says, okay, I understand, fine. Anyways, so that was that, and they davened, and then the, well, afterwards, the Rebbe got better, came home, and the gabbai felt uncomfortable with what he did. First of all, you know, that he, not only did he, that the fact that he lied to the Rebbe the whole time, that there was, if there was a minion there, but he felt bad, like himself. I mean, he was saying Baruch Hu and Kedusha and Kaddish. These are things you're not allowed to say without a minion, and he said it without a minion, and he felt like, you know, he needs a kapara. What, you know, he felt really bad about the whole story. So he decided, you know what, I'm going to approach the Rebbe and tell him the truth. So he told him exactly the story, what happened. So he said, Rebbe, I feel terrible what I did. And so Rebbe said, don't feel terrible. He says, because you actually saved my life. So the Rebbe's like, I saved the Rebbe's life? What is that supposed to mean? So he says, I'll tell you. He says, if you would have told me the truth, if you would have told me there after I woke up, and I said, let's daven Marv, you would have said, well, they thought you weren't going to wake up and everybody daven and laugh, there's no minion. He said, if you would have told me that, he says, I would have been in so much tsar. He said, I would have just died. Right on the spot. I would have died right on the spot. He says, so you saved my life. You saved my life by making up the story, and you're allowed to lie and say the Varmship of Kedusha without a minion to save a person's life. And that's what you did. He says, because I would have had so much sorrow that I would have just dropped dead on the spot. So the Rebbe gave the gabbai a bracha. He says, you know, you should have long and healthy years, and, you know, for your mysterious nefesh and the fact that you saved me. And sure enough, that's what happened, and the The Gabbai lived a very, very long life. He lived to close to 100 years old, he lived at the time. And then very, very healthy to his last days because of the Rebbe's bracha. While on the topic of davening with the minyan, Reb Moshe Aaron Stern, Zatzal, the Mashgiach of Kamenetz, who was also known for his being very fastidious in making sure to daven with a minyan. And in fact, whenever he had to travel, he arranged all his flights, whatever, to make sure that he gets a minyan here, gets a minyan there, that he shouldn't have to miss a minyan, no matter what. And in fact, once he arrived at a certain town, and in the evening, he was told that there's not going to be a minyan in the shul, that they thought it was going to be a minyan the next morning. They told him, listen, there's not going to be a minyan there. And he went, and he drove, and he traveled to another town just to make sure that he would have a minyan. Anyways, a story goes that he once arrived in Amsterdam, again, as part of his organizing his flights to make sure he gets a minyan. So he arrived early morning in Amsterdam. This was in the winter. And he was out on the street, and had no idea where the shul is. And it was early morning, nobody to ask, and it was a snowstorm. Snowstorm, cold, freezing, windy, snowy. And he's just standing there, not having the foggiest idea where to go, no pun intended. And he was avude tzod, as they say. He was lost. Like, what now? Where? So he turned to Hashem. He said, Ribbono Shalom. He said, you know how out of the way I go just to make sure I get a minyan. Now I made a point of Dafka coming here to Amsterdam. Hashem, help me, help me, help me find a minyan. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a car stops next to him, and it's a yid. He says to Moshe Aaron, what are you, yid doing standing in the street like this, the freezing cold, in the snow, at this hour in the morning? So he said, I need a minyan, I'm looking for a shul. He says, you're looking for a shul? Hop in, I'll take you to shul. He said, what? This is unbelievable. So he gets in the car. Sure enough, it takes them to the shul. They go into the shul, and the tzibur looks up, and they said, huh, I don't believe it. He said, what? He says, they had 8 people, and they figured they're not going to get a minyan in this day. It was freezing and snowy and stormy, and they figured there's no way they're going to get a minyan. And they only had 8 people. And who walks in? Moshe Aaron and his driver. And Baruch Hashem, they had their minyan. One last shaila. It was a fellow Reuven, and he goes into a store, a vegetable store, fruits and vegetable store, on Thursday evening to buy some vegetables for Shabbos. And he's putting things in his bag, he's saying as he's doing so, Zelichvot Shabbat, Zelichvot Shabbat. So Mishnah Berurah brings down in Siman Reish Nun, Sifkat and Beis, says, Tov Sheyomar Al Kol Davar Shekoneh LaShabbos, everything that you buy for Shabbos, you should say, Zeu Lichvot Shabbos. Because it says the Mishnah Berurah, the Dibur Po'el Harbei B'Kedusha. Speech, when you bring it out, you speak, and it does a lot for Kedusha. Okay, so he's going around, this is for Shabbos, this is for Shabbos. He finishes his purchase, he comes to the front desk, and he says to the owner, listen, I'd like to have a watermelon. So he says, no problem. So he says, no problem. Listen, I'll tell you, it is a problem. I came here last time, and I bought a watermelon. I slept it all the way home. I opened it, and it was rotten. So the owner said, listen, don't worry. I'll leave it to me. I'll find you a watermelon. Beautiful watermelon. And I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. If the watermelon's no good, he says, I'll give you 3 watermelons in return. So he puts out his hand, he says, here, let's make you a deal. We'll shake on it. So fine, shakes on it. And he starts picking up watermelons, knocking on them, you know, listening to what he hears. And he says, oh, now this is a watermelon. this is an olive watermelon. Psh, you'll be happy with this one. So it's big, nice big watermelon. Fine. Puts it on the scale. Pays for it. Okay. Just then, an old lady walks in and comes up to the front, to the desk, and says to the owner, listen, I'd like to buy half a watermelon. So the owner says, sorry, ma'am, I can't sell you half a watermelon because I'm closing soon. It's Thursday night. And I'm not, who's going to buy the other half? It's already the end of the day. So if you want a full watermelon, but Simchal sent you, I'll sell you a watermelon. I can't sell you a half. So she says, no, I can't schlep home a huge watermelon. I only want half. It's just fine. Come back tomorrow. I can't come back tomorrow. Anyway, she's trying to, please sell me half, sell me half. Anyway, Reuven's still there, the first guy. He feels bad for this woman. He says, you know what? I'll tell you what. I don't need this big watermelon that I just bought. I'll tell you what. I'll sell you half of it. So she says, oh, great. So he says to the owner, do me a favor. Can you cut the watermelon in half? No problem. Takes out his knife, whoosh, cuts it in half, and you guessed it, lo and behold, rotten through and through. The whole watermelon's rotten. So Reuven's, I said, thank you very much. Now can you please hand me over three watermelons like our deal? So what does the owner say? No. He says, what do you mean no? You said that if it's rotten, you're going to give me three watermelons. He says, yeah, but listen, what's pshat over here? Why do I figured that, you know, here you're going to take this big watermelon, you're going to schlep it all the way home, and then open it up and see if it's rotten. So for your tircha, schlepping it home, and that I was going to give you three watermelons, but you didn't go through any tirchas right here in the store. Open it up, and it's, so why should I pay you three watermelons? If you schlepped it all the way home, that's what I meant, you know, you schlep it home, and yeah, I feel bad for you, so I'm going to give you three watermelons. But here, you didn't have to do anything. It's right in front of me, right here, you didn't even touch it. So I'm not going to give you three. I'll give you another one, of course, but not three. Question is, who is right? So, the answer, Rav Zilberstein himself thought that, in fact, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kav Zayin Amud Aleph, that says a person walks into a store and says, I'd like to buy a chavit, a barrel. So the owner says, sure, no problem. And he gives him a kad, it's like a jug, instead of a barrel. So the buyer says, excuse me, what's this? He says, well, here's the barrel that you asked for. He goes, this is not a barrel, this is a jug. So he says, oh, it's true, but I understand. He says, but, you know, in our area over here, it's true, most people call this big thing a barrel, little thing a jug. But there are people, they call these little things barrels. And I happen to be one of them. And therefore, people that call this little thing a barrel, and therefore you wanted a barrel, here's the barrel. As far as I'm concerned, I'm part of the minority that, and the Gemara says that he has a case, that since there are a minority, we don't go after the majority when it comes to money, and we have a rule, Hamotzi Mechaver Alavarai, until you can prove that this is what exactly you had asked for, it was for a big one, not a smaller one, whatever, then the money stays by the owner, and he has to accept the small jug. So we see from here that when it comes to money, in order to take out money, you have to be 100% clear, because Hamotzi Mechaver Alavarai. And therefore, if the person holding on has any taina, even if it's not a great taina, but he has some type of a taina, unless you can prove him otherwise, you're not allowed to you take out money from him. Memela, he thought the same thing over here. It sounds a little bit far-fetched that he was only promising him the watermelons if he was slipping on, but there is something to that. Could be. So until he can prove otherwise, which he probably can't, the buyer, therefore, he can't take out from him the three watermelons. And therefore, he has to just accept the replacement. However, Rav Zilberstein went to his brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, and he told him this the case and asked what he thought. And he said, nothing doing. He said, of course he has to pay the three watermelons. He said it was rotten. He'll pay the three watermelons. It was rotten. He said, pay the three watermelons. Finished. Nothing to talk about. That's the final psak given Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Shalom Yizoicha to hear good shaylas. And as we come to a siyum of Sefer HaGeula, Sefer Shmos, with Yaakov Pekude, and reading this week of Parshas Para, it's the Tara of Yisrael, which is Zoyche, to the Iker Tara, and the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhir V'yameinu.